Chapter number 4 this morning, Amos chapter 4. Yes, that is a book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Let me encourage you to do something. If you have a table of contents, go there first, okay? Get the page number and then act like you know where you're going. Turn there and say, I've beat everybody else here, you know? Amos chapter 4. I've been praying, seeking the Lord, and the Lord just keeps bringing me back to this message. And I want to be a preacher that preaches the will of God. Amos chapter 4, verse 6. Now, I'm not going to wait on all of you to get there, okay? I cheated. I looked ahead of time and put my bookmark there, you know what I mean? So I'm here. What's your all's problem? You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding with you. Good to have fun in the Lord. You all rip on me, so I'm going to rip on you a while, you know? All these kind of things. I was walking over here outside, and Brother Tony Tolley said, "Be careful, the bird will come down and carry you off," he said. I mean, that's just not right, you know what I mean? You're on the front row I was looking for, and I couldn't see you, and you had to speak. I'm feeling sick to my stomach right now for some reason. Amos chapter 4, verse number 6. This is God speaking, so the I here is God, okay? "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, want of bread in all your places. Yet if you're not returning to me, saith the Lord, also I've withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months of the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, the piece whereupon it rained not withered, so two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet if you're not returning to me, saith the Lord, I've smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them, yet if you're not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt, your young men have I slain with the sword, have taken away your horses and have made the stink of your camps to come up under your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You're as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, because of this, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee," here it is, here's the title of my message, "prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." I preach to you today on that topic, prepare to meet thy God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this great number of people that's come out on this Sunday morning. Thank you for the children's churches taking place, the bus youth church, the nursery, and the workers all over these premises. Would you anoint these services with your presence and your power? And may you help people today to truly prepare to meet God. Help me to be prepared. Help these dear people to be prepared. And may you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me paraphrase what's going on in verses 6 through verse number 11. God is speaking to the nation of Israel. And in verse number 6, he says, "I sent the famine to your land and you refused to come back to me." In verses 7 and 8, he said, "I sent the drought among your land, and you refused to come to me." Verse number 9, he said, "I sent the blasting and the mildew and the palmer worm to devour your good trees, but you still refused to come to me." Verse number 10, he says, "I sent the pestilence among you, and I killed your young men to the point that the stink of their carcasses literally burned in your nostrils, but you still refused to come to me." Verse number 11, he said, "I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you refused to come to me." May I paraphrase what he's saying? He's saying, "I've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to get your attention, and you refuse to give it to me. Therefore, I'm going to say one more thing and shut my mouth. Prepare to meet thy God." If I ask you this morning, what is life? How would you answer that question? No doubt in a crowd this size there would be many answers, but I believe personally that if God were standing here and we ask Him, "God, what is life?" I believe I know His answer. I believe he would say, life is only preparation to meet me. That's all it is. We are all on a journey. And every one of our journeys will end up at the same place, and that is at the throne of Almighty God. And if you are prepared for that moment, it depends on what you do with this one life you have been given. You know, we as human beings prepare for so many things. Young people prepare to take a test or go on a date or a job in the future, or prepare for retirement, or sports teams preparing to play games. We're creatures of habit of preparing to do things. We prepared for this day, prepared the teas, prepared, I'm talking about by visitations, preparing for a good day. We're preparing for a baptismal service. We prepare for so many things, but the greatest thing you and I will ever prepare to do is to meet God. I'm not talking about the principal young people. I'm not talking about the. I'm talking about your parents or the president of the United States. I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm not talking about your children or your grand. I'm talking about the ruler of the universe. I'm talking about the one who named the stars and he knows them all by name. The one who has the very hairs of your head numbered and counted. Daniel Webster said it this way: the most sobering thought that's ever entered my mind is I have a date with God. Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. We, not you, we are going to meet God. Think about it. Think about it. Now what I want to do this morning is I want to give you five ways that you can prepare to meet God. Five ways that human beings with this life can prepare to meet God. Somebody may be here right now and say, I don't believe that. I don't believe I'm going to meet God. I believe it's just this life, and when they bury me, that's where I'm going to be. You may be sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is, the Word of God says we're going to meet God. God said that, and God's not going to get my permission if He'll keep His Word or not. We are going to meet God. It's going to happen. It could before I'm done preaching today. Let me give you five ways to prepare. Number one, drink of the living water. Drink of the living water. In John chapter 4, I don't want you to turn to that. I just want you to let me turn for time's sake. In John chapter 4, it's the story of the woman at the well. And the Bible picks up the reading in verse number 6 and says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Then in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water of the well that he was sitting on shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. May I paraphrase what I mean when I say drink of the living water? It means you must know Christ as your personal Savior. It means you must be a born again child of God. Nobody who is in the devil's family is prepared to meet God when he calls their name. If I ask you today, have you truly been born again? I'm not asking, are you sitting in a church? Have you warmed a church pew? Have you taught a class? Have you been a bus captain? I'm asking you, do you know for sure that you are born again, saved, blood washed, and on your way to heaven? Away with the foolishness. Away with making excuses. Away was saying, I hope so. God wants you to know so. Have you trusted Christ? John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There was a man in Indiana many, many years ago, an evangelist that we know tells his story. He told the story about there was a church meeting going on, and a couple got burdened for this particular man and invited this man to come to church with them. This man didn't want anything to do with God, and he started cussing these people for simply inviting him to church. He said, I don't need your blankety-blank God. I don't need that blankety-blank church. And just started cussing these people just for inviting him to the house of God. Early one morning, right after that, this man was called into work, driving his pickup truck to work, and got broadsided, shot out of his own windshield, and his own vehicle ran over his skull and crushed him to death. You say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. God's a gracious God. God's a merciful God. But if you're saying no to Him, how long the door is open is not your decision, it's His decision. And if you've never trusted Him, you are crazy to leave this place without knowing for sure that heaven is your home. Luke chapter 16, there's a rich man crying even today for one drop of water. When he found out that there's no hope for him, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Look at this, that he just dips it in water just like that and cool my tongue. That's all he's asking for. He didn't ask for a drink. He just asked for Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and stick that wet to his tongue. I've told this story in this church several times. I'm going to tell it again because I feel the Lord probing here. Hell is a topic and a doctrine that I wish was not true. The place called hell is not something that God created for men and women like you and I. He created it for the devil and his angels. But it's also recorded in the Word of God that those who reject Jesus Christ, the living water, the Son of God, the one who's the only way to heaven, they will die without Christ and go to the same place that the devil's going. There's a story told, and this has been confirmed. I may have a few details off, but you'll get the basic gist of the story. Here in our area, it was Bluntville or Bluff City many years ago when a man was involved in a truck wreck. And the truck flipped over on its top. He wasn't injured, but he was pinned inside the vehicle. He could not get out. They were trying to talk to him, apparently, just to make sure he didn't black out, you know, because if he did, probably the weight of his body, I guess, would cut off his circulation and he would suffocate to death. So they were talking to him, but while they were waiting on the folks to get there to cut him out of the vehicle, his truck caught on fire. The flames were so intense that they had to back away from the truck. It was melting the metal and everything else. Can you imagine this man on the inside? The story's told that this flame got closer and closer to this man until finally on the inside he was helpless. He couldn't get out. They couldn't get to him. The fire reached this man and he began to burn alive. And they say he looked out somehow and saw a police officer with a gun on his side. And he began to start screaming, shoot me! Shoot me, please! I can't stand this pain! The story I was told is that the police officer was saying something along this line and that he turned his face and tears coming down his cheeks as they heard that man scream turn to a growling whimper, then to just a moan, and then silence. That man burned alive for a few moments and was pleading with God, was pleading with others to kill him. But what's a few moments compared to eternity? It's not a drop in the ocean. It's not a grain of sand on the beach. May I plead with you this morning, if you do not know for sure that heaven's your home, we're not asking you to join this church. You can't join this church today. We're not asking you to be baptized, turn over a new leaf, do the best you can. No, we're telling you we can't save you, but we know who can. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord. Be saved. That's number one. Now, if you're sitting here today and say, that's what I need, forget the rest of the message. It's not for you. Because 2 through 5 are for Christians. Everybody understand what I just said? If you're not a born-again child of God, you know what you need to do. And as soon as the invitation's given, you need to come and trust Jesus Christ. But if and only if you know that you've been saved, let me give you number two. Drink the living water. Number two, develop a daily walk. What this means is walk with God on a daily basis. It doesn't just involve this, but it involves your Bible reading and your prayer life. Now, you should read the Bible to obey it, not read it to check off that you did your reading today. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm not saying just read your Bible and pray and that's walking with God. No, walking with God means you're in agreement with God. You're going the same direction. Well, you can't be going the same direction unless you're obeying what He's telling you to do. But you find out what He's telling you to do by reading the instruction manual, by reading the Bible. I want to ask you a question. Do you read the Bible every day of your life? Don't answer it out loud. Are you, as a child of God, spending time every day in the pages of the Word of God? If you're not, thank God you're going to heaven, but you are not ready for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Everybody's going to meet God. The unsaved will go to the great white throne where there's one sentence, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. That's the unbelievers. Those who are saved at least will go to the judgment seat. Thank God our sins are gone. I mean, we're going to heaven. Praise God. But our works will be judged. Our motives will be judged. And if we're not reading the Bible, there's no way we're ready for that meeting with God. Are you reading the Word of God? George Mueller, after reading the Bible 100 times he read the Bible through. Here's what he said. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have so much to do, so many people to see, I cannot find time for Scripture study. Perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I. For more than half a century, I have never known a day when I had not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of these have passed through my own hands. Then, as pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I've had charge of 5 immense orphanages, also at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may tell you how this church can have God's blessing upon it. You may tell you how this church will never let false doctrine come in and creep in as God's children here walk with God. Maybe you've heard the story of the man in Kansas City. Another story I've told on several occasions with different sermons here, I guess. But some of these stories, you're going to hear it until the trumpet sounds, probably from me. This man in Kansas City was a new believer. He had just trusted Christ as Savior recently. And he went to work on this particular day, and there was an explosion that took place so close to him that it literally blew both of his hands off his body. Badly disfigured his face and blinded him. He couldn't see. Can you imagine going to work perfectly healthy and leaving without 2 hands and blinded and your face disfigured because of an explosion that took place at work? You know what bothered him, though, more than likely the most, is that he couldn't see the Bible to read it, because God had just saved him, you see, and he had such a hunger for the Word of God. And he wanted to read it, but he couldn't see it now. a Braille Bible that blind people use. They typically use their hands, but he has no hands to run his fingers across the page. But he kept searching until he heard about a lady over in England who used her lips to read a Braille Bible. Can you imagine that, running your lips across the page with the raised dots? So he got one hoping that he could learn how to read the Bible with the raised dots, the Braille, by running his lips. And he put his lips down to the page, but the nerve endings in his lips were so damaged that he couldn't feel it. He kept trying and trying until the story that I found basically says that one day his tongue touched the page and he could feel it. And this man began to teach himself to read a Braille Bible with his tongue, running his tongue across the pages. When I found this story many years ago, that man had read the entire Bible, all 66 books, with his tongue 4 times. Can you see me today? How many times have you read it? What does this book mean to you? How's your Bible reading? Are you obeying the Word of God? Secondly, under this is all develop a daily walk, your prayer life. Now, let me say this to you up front. I don't know of any preacher who's worthy to preach on prayer. I'm not. I've not arrived in my prayer life, but I know this. I know God's burdening me about my prayer life, and I know it's right to pray. And I know God wants to hear me and speak to me and wants me to speak to Him. D.L. Moody said this about the Word of God: this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Here search and great shall be your store. Here drink and you'll thirst no more. You need to have a daily time in the Word of God, reading, obeying, meditating, memorizing, whatever the case may be, the Word of God. That's part of your daily walk and your prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given. Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. I found this. We say sometimes, and we preach on the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ, the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew. But you realize that Satan has a Beatitude? You know what it is? Blessed are they who have no time to pray, for they will make easy prey. I'm telling you, if you're not praying like you should, you have a large target on your back and no protection. Are you praying like you should? How is your walk with God? Charles Weigel, who composed, he wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Great song. One day he was visiting in Pasadena, California, and he was walking through some of the famous rose gardens there. And later he arrived at that same, not the same place, but he arrived at a hotel for a Bible conference. But earlier in the day he was walking through those famous rose gardens, and as he took his seat, a man turned to him and he said, Dr. Weigel, he said, I know where you've been. You've toured one of the lovely gardens, for I can smell the pleasing aroma of the flowers on your clothing. When he heard that, he made this statement, and I quote, my prayer is that I walk so close with the Lord that the fragrance of His grace will pervade my being. I want them to know by my words, actions, and songs that I have been with Jesus. Are you walking so close with God that people smell God on you? Well, that's convicting, isn't it? Number one, drink the living water. Number two, develop a daily walk. Number three, die to this evil world. Now, these five things I'm giving you are by no means exhaustive. In other words, if you do these five things, you're perfect, good. No, there's other things, but these are five things that if you apply these to your life, you'll have a head start on a lot of people getting ready to meet God. Die to this evil world. Die to it. 1 Corinthians 15, 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. John 12, 24, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Galatians 2, 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what a, you know what a sobering statement is, a challenging statement, a privileged statement is? Jesus Christ wants to use me. He wants to use me. But he cannot and will not the way he desires until we are dead to this world. What I mean by this is that we live like a Christian. Dead to the world means that you're dead to the world's lifestyle, you're dead to the world's entertainment, you're dead to the world's philosophy. That you say you're a Christian, prove it. Live it. You don't live it to be saved, but when you're saved, you ought to try to live in such a way that proves that you are God's child. What you listen to, I'm talking about where you go, how you act, how you speak. Are you dead to the world and alive unto Jesus Christ? For instance, if we had somebody from across the world, I'll just use the country of China because we have some of these precious students with us on Sunday evening. Precious, precious students. A couple of them just recently have trusted Christ as their Savior. And we're excited that they go home and take the gospel home to their country, if the Lord leads in that. But let's say that somebody from China who's never been to this country, never been here, not 1 minute, let's say that they arrived and their personal jet was landed out here on top of your cars. And they come, first time in America, never been here before. And they have a seat out here among us. As my eyes are surfing and I'm looking, if that person from China was sitting here who's never been to America, never had on American clothes, you follow me what I'm saying? Who's going to stand out to me in America? It's not a trick question. That person will. Why? Because they're dressed different. They look different. They speak different. Their language is not from here. Their styles are not from here. Their culture is not from here. Are you listening to me? One thing we notice when we see that person, you know what we all come to a conclusion? They are not from America. There always has been and always will be a difference between a child of darkness and a child of light. Amen. And you and I should stick out in a lost world like that dear person from China would stick out in our congregation. There ought to be something different about a child of God. Amen, friends. Maybe you've heard the story of the missionary who came home. And when he came home, he'd been gone for a while telling people about Jesus. His wife was with him. And again, I'm paraphrasing some of this story. You'll get the basic gist of it. When he came home and the boat arrived in the harbor, there were a lot of people gathered there. You can imagine what he thought. They've heard I'm coming home. They're here to welcome me back home. But he didn't know he was on the same boat as President Roosevelt at the time. And he soon learned that they weren't there to welcome him. They were there to welcome the president home. Well, the president was just gone just a few days compared to how long he had been gone, you see. So when he found out that they were there for the president, not for him, he was deflated. He was discouraged. And apparently he began to complain in front of his wife, said, I don't understand this. I'm gone all this time. And so on, nobody's here. And the story that I heard is that his wife said, don't tell me, tell God. That's pretty good advice from a wife. Don't complain to me, complain to God. So he did. Went into a room somewhere and was complaining to God, I go across across the sea for all this time, and I come, nobody's here. And he goes away just for a few days. Everybody's here. Says, I don't understand. But when he came out of the room, his demeanor had changed. He's no longer sad, no longer discouraged. And his sweetheart apparently asked him, said, what'd you find out? He said, well, I was complaining to God in there and saying, nobody's here, nobody's here. And he said, God just impressed my heart. Said, son, what are you complaining about? You're just not home yet. Amen. See, our citizenship is in heaven, but too many Christians have taken up residency here on earth. Are you dead to the world? Number four, determined to be a faithful witness. Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. It is the will of God for God's children to share their faith to a lost and dying world. That's God's will. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Which means if you're not fishing for men, you're not following Jesus. Amen. Because anybody who's following Jesus is fishing for men, because that's what he said would happen. Let me ask you a question. Does it bother you that there are people dying right now as I speak and going to a devil's hell? Does that bother you? Does it upset you? Or are you more concerned with what you're going to eat for supper or lunch today? Does it bother you that somebody may be in hell right now that you missed, that I missed? It's been said that 98% of Christians, 98%, do not regularly introduce people to Jesus Christ. No wonder America's in the shape it is, friends. I'll amen myself this morning, okay? No wonder the world's in the shape it is, because God's children have been silenced. While the devil's crowd boldly speaks up about ungodliness and wickedness, God's children cower over in a corner and say, I just don't want to offend anybody. The gospel is an offense to an unbelieving heart, but is deliverance to a believing heart. Are you telling others about Jesus? I remind you, there's two things that you cannot do in heaven that you can do on earth. One is sin. Aren't you glad heaven's a perfect place? Isn't it going to be wonderful to get there? There's no devil, there's no curse, there's no sin, there's no, you have to lock your doors, get an alarm system. Make sure you got a gun. You know, I mean, there's no more of that. There's no sin. You cannot sin there. It's a perfect place, but you can here. Another thing you cannot do there that you can do here is go soul winning. There's no lost people there. Imagine living in a place with no lost people. Amen. I'm looking forward. Honestly, I am. Now, if there's two things we can do that we cannot do there that we can here, one is sin and one is soul winning. Which one do you think he left you here to do? That is not a trick question. If you're saying sin, then we need to have a personal discussion after church today, okay? Are you being faithful in the matter of witnessing? It's not a matter of how many people did you win to Christ, it's how many people did you tell about Christ. Do you understand the difference? It's not our job to win them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's our job to tell them. So how many people have you told about Jesus? You know, if one person would get that right today, whose heart's not right in that area, it's been worth this message. Just one person. I'll tell you a story here. Several years ago, and there may be some relatives of this young man seated here today, or there may be relatives listening live or hear this later, and if they are relatives, I hope this will be a blessing to them, a help to them, an encouragement to them. Many, many, many years ago now, my wife and I were out making visits. We weren't married at this time. We were in Bible college, and she was here for the weekend, and we were out making visits on Horseshoe Bend Road. Some of you have been on that road. We pulled up to a house where folks there spoke Spanish because my wife grew up in Mexico. She's a missionary child, and she loves the Spanish-speaking people, loves them, loves them. We were making a visit there, and about that time, a young man was coming walking down the road. I called him over to our car and found out his name was David. David at this time was a student at Daniel Boone High School. I think he was a sophomore. Don't quote me on that, but I think he was a sophomore. I began to share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. David, as a teenager, right there at the trunk of our car at that time, bowed his head, called out to God, and asked the Lord to save him and change his life. If he meant what he prayed, he got saved. That's between him and the Lord, but if he meant what he prayed, he trusted the Lord. I got his information from Brother David Fox, who was the youth pastor at that time here. I went back to school, and Brother Fox informed me that he went to see David, you know, to try to get him in church, talk to him further, and found out that David was just recently swimming out at Boone Lake and went under the water, but he never came back up. As a teenager in high school, he drowned. My mind goes back to the time when, at the moment that we pulled up, David was walking down the road. That was a divine appointment, friends. I go back to the time when I invited him over to my car and I spoke to him about Jesus and I asked myself a couple of questions. Number one, what if David would have thought he had extra time to get that decision right? What if he'd have said, not today? But I asked myself a second question, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because there's too many I've missed. And I'm not saying that false humility. I mean it. There's too many divine appointments I've missed in my life. But thank God that's not one of them. I asked myself the question, what if I had said no? There are too many David Goodwins who are searching for Jesus and just don't know how to find him. And they're standing in the same aisle at Food City when you're shopping for cereal. There's a person shopping for cereal at the same time. Could it be that God has put them in the same aisle, same time? So you don't offend them. Just say, folks, here's something from our church, something that can show you how you can go to heaven. Would you read this? You might be amazed how somebody would say, thank you for that. I've been looking for a church. And God is showing you divine appointment. I'll tell you another divine appointment, Brother Scotty. Maybe you're aware of this. Has to do with your sister. When your sister went out to meet the Lord, what a godly young lady. When he had her service here, you've heard me maybe even tell the story about the ladies that came up from Crown and left, one of them had left their Bible at the motel. Didn't remember how to get back to it. So we, Gary and I were, you may remember this, Brother Gary, we were leading them back to the motel and we went past, you know, the four loops here. And the girls forgot that they were following us. Got off the loop like they were going back to Knoxville. If you remember this, Brother Gary, and you pulled off to the side, and we just kind of watched this happen. They realized what they were doing and got back on the other loop. Now they're going to John City. Got back on that loop, now they're going to Bristol. Got back on that loop, and now they're back behind us. Follow me, what happened? We got back to the motel, and just like all ladies, I don't understand this. When one goes to the restroom, they all have to go to the restroom. I don't understand that. They got their Bible and they needed gas. We were going through Colonial Heights, and at that time, there were two gas stations right side by side. We went past the first one. Brother Gary, if you remember this, you said, I should have pulled into that one because there's more room for them to maneuver in, but we went ahead and pulled in the second one. And pulled up to a gas pump, and about almost identical time, a car pulled in right beside us. I got out of the car and I began to break the ice with this man at the gas pump and found out his name was Scott. He was from another state. And Scott at that gas pump from another state bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. I go back in my mind and I think to myself, who forgot that Bible in that room? Who temporarily forgot that they were behind us and got off that ramp and delayed them just for that moment? Now, whether God was in every lady going to the bathroom or not, I don't know, but let's just say he was. And who was in it to make Gary have a relapse? I'm talking about a mental lapse. He has a lot of those, by the way, but just a mental lapse. And go past the first gas station, pull on the second. Who was it that pulled that car up to the same gas pump that Scott from another state was going to pull up to at the exact time? God in heaven is after people, friends. And he's orchestrating it. Is there a Scott that you missed this week? Too many Scots I've missed. Let's determine not to miss another one. Amen. Let me give you the final thing here. Number five. General William Booth said this at age 75. He said, some men's ambitions art, some is fame, some is gold, but mine is the souls of men. Let me give you number five. Decide to fulfill God's will. I'll try to make this brief. I'm on my last page of notes here. I'm talking about front and back here. But it's a half sheet. 1 John 2:17 says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you can find is God's will for your life. Greatest thing you can do, God's will for your life. When I thought as a boy that God wanted me to be a Major League Baseball player, God orchestrated it. And there came a day when I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God told me to lay those cleats down, put that catcher's mitt down, put my bat down, and go into the gospel ministry. I knew he told me to do it. And I'm not much of a preacher, I don't claim to be, but I know I'm right in the middle of God's will for my life. What is God's will for you? By the way you find it is you keep doing what you know his will is today. You want to know God's will? You want to know God's will? Yes? Then you keep doing what he's told you to do today. And he'll reveal more and more and more. A girl told her mama, she said, Mama, talking about people meeting God, she said, Mama, my Sunday school teacher tells me that the world's only a place in which God lets us live a while so that we may prepare for a better world. But, Mom, I don't see anybody preparing. I see you preparing to go to the country, and I see our aunt preparing to come here, but I don't see anybody preparing to go there. Why don't they get ready, Mama? That was a profound statement from that little girl, right? Charles Finney, you heard his name? Story goes that he was going into law, you know, and story goes that the Lord began to deal with his heart, and he tells a story, so to speak. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I felt the Lord impressing on my heart, Finney, what are you going to do with your life? Well, I'm going to put out a shingle, practice law. Then he said, I felt impressed with two words. Then what? Well, I guess I'll make some money. Then he said, I felt two words. Then what? Well, I guess I'll just get old and retire. He said, then I felt two words. Then what? He said, I finally came to the conclusion, well, I guess I'm going to die. Then he said, I felt two words. Then what? And he thought to himself, I'm going to meet God. Tells a story that he put his books down, ran out of the office, went into the woods somewhere, got saved, got called of God to preach in those woods, went in a lawyer, came out a born-again child of God, ready to preach the gospel. All because he realized, I have a date with God. Let me give you this story. I'm coming to a close. This is another one of my familiar stories. Familiar. An evangelist tells a story of two teenagers. Boy and a girl. I don't know if it's boyfriend, girlfriend, brother, sister. I'm unsure of all the details, but again, you'll get the basic gist. A preacher was preaching on salvation, getting ready to meet God, whatever the case may be, and these teenagers didn't want anything to do with it. They were in church that night, but they were poking fun, if you will. The boy grabbed the church hymnal, like the one sitting in front of you there, and he wrote something down in it and gave it to the girl. She wrote something down in it. They slammed it shut, stormed out the back door. Preaching's going on, stormed out the back door. 15 minutes later, they're dead. Car crash right down the road. 15 minutes later, they go out to meet God. They were interested to come in and see what they had written, so they found that church hymnal and found these words, I will take my chances. And the girl said, me too. But I go back to what I said before, God's patience had run out. Are you ready to meet God? This is serious business. Are you prepared to meet God? If you are, praise God. If you're not, get ready now. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Bless this invitation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me deal tenderly here. Have you here today say, Jody, I'm glad at least I am a born again child of God. Now, folks, listen, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. God knows. If you're here today and say, Jody, I know without a doubt that I'm a born again child of God. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. If you know that you have drunk of the living water, that you are born again, would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Amen today. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one today as they begin to play through softly? Is there one today say, Jody, I am not 100% sure of that, but I have a desire to be. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven, but I sure desire to have that 100% assurity. I want to know that I've trusted Christ. I do not know that today, but I want to. Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. And you say, pray for me. I need to be sure that I'm a Christian. Away with the excuses. Away with all of this. If that's you and you mean business, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, put it up. Put it right back down. If you raised your hand to that question, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Would you do that? If you raised your hand, I want you to look right up here at me. Now, I'm going to tell you that the devil's going to try to fight you. And I want you to know something. You're among friends. You're not among enemies. You're among friends. All these people, including myself, who could raise our hands saying we know that Jesus is our Savior, there was a day when we could not raise our hand to that. If you need to be saved, when we give an invitation, I want to invite you to come. Let us take a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we will lead you to what you need to do to trust Christ as your Savior. Have you said, Jody, I'm a Christian. God is speaking to me, whether it be your daily walk or whether it be dying to the world or whether it be being a faithful witness or whether it be finding the will of God. And you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. But God is speaking to me about preparing better as His child. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about this. Well, that's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. Let me encourage you, if you got your hand raised, to lower it, but I want you to listen to me quickly. There are lost people here today, and I want you to lead in the invitation. What I mean, if God is speaking to you, if you come to the altar, it may help a lost person who doesn't want to be the first to move to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to invite you to come. I'll ask Brother Gary just to come to the microphone and begin to sing. We're not going to stand right now, but if God is speaking to you right now as He sings, would you come? If you need to be saved, come on.
There's a great day coming.
Come now.
A great day coming.
May the Lord help you to come.
There's a great day coming by and by.
This is your time.
When the saints
this is your time.
And the sinners shall be
parted.
Don't
put it off.
Are you ready?
Because there's a God who loves you, cares about you, wants to save you. Come now. Come now. Come now.
Are you ready?
If you're following the Lord in baptism, I'm going to dismiss you to go to where you need to go. All those following the Lord in baptism. If you are following the Lord in baptism.
Are you ready?
Are you men to my left, ladies to my right.
For the judgment day.
Thank you. You may look this way. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements. We'll have the offering. We'll have the baptismal service. We'll be done. Today, as most of you know, was No Absentee Day. And I want to remind you, if your class, adult class, or preschool class, or department, 1st through 12th, made their goal today, we'll have breakfast for you next Sunday morning at 9:30. If you're not sure, we'll be letting you know that via email, and your teachers will let you know. And that will be at the gym. We'll have Krispy Kreme donuts. I already tried those out this week. They're outstanding. And tater tot sausage biscuits for you. So just come right to the gym starting about 9:30. We'll close it up about 10 after 10. That'll be next Sunday morning. Secondly, our faith promise offering is now at $272,000. Haven't quite reached our goal yet. If you've not had an opportunity to take care of that, the cards are now in the pew in front of you, and you can see those, fill those out, put what the Lord is laying in your heart to give weekly, and you can put that in the offering place, plate, give us to one of the staff members. We'll take care of that for you, and so we can finish the job. Finally, May the 10th, David Gibbs will be with us. It's going to be an exciting day. Make plans to be there. That is Mother's Day. We have some special things going on there also, but you make plans to be with us on that day. Gentlemen, if you'll come, we'll receive the offering. Lord, we do thank you for your word today, and Lord, challenge our hearts to prepare for the day when we're going to stand before you, and do pray for this one that's being dealt with about salvation. Give her full understanding and help her to have real assurance that heaven will be your home someday. Pray for these being baptized today, that indeed they would walk, have a new walk, and Lord, just bless them during this time. And the Lord continue to meet the needs of this assembly, of our missionaries around the world, in Jesus' name, amen.
Obedience to our Lord's command. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. This is Mike DeBusk. The Lord's been working in his heart and life. He knows the Lord is his Savior. He just wants to make sure that he's done this in the right way, correct?
That's correct.
We're thrilled that God's working in his life.
upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Thank you for doing the right thing. Amen. And you're here. You can turn around and look at her, okay? This is Tiffany Lane. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Thank you for doing the right thing. This is my buddy Jacob.
Yes.
The Lord has saved him in April. They've been married.
Yes, sir, we have.
Gotten that right. And the Lord is working in his life.
Absolutely.
We praise the Lord for this. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And here comes his wife. This is April. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. It's a blessing watching the Lord work in people's lives. This is Jordan Kaiser. His brother Jake led him to Christ last week. Was it? That was last week. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he's on my side. You know me? That's very good. He knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. This is Loretta Mosley, another precious family that God's been working in. We give him all the praise for it. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, I got you. Raised to walk in the newness of life. God. Thank you for doing the right thing. We're proud of you. God bless you. Amen. You can tell that it means something what just happened with this dear lady right here. And we praise the Lord for it. Is that it? Everybody's clear up here. You don't know who's behind this wall, do you? But I do. We appreciate you being here today. Be back tonight, 6:30. Ask God to meet with us. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you'll dismiss us, please.